How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is great to be with you guys. It's Friday. It's flagship time. We're doing our Bears preview scouting report episode today. It's going to be a little bit different. There were some comments from John Lynch on KNBR this morning. I want to start the show with that. Then we're going to transition into kind of what, you know, let's figure out what the Bears are, what they've done, some matchups, some different things. Not going to focus so much on predictions just because I set the pathway whenever we were working on this. And shout out to Josh, executive producer of the show and executive producers of every show we ever do. Corey Robbins, 49ers, George 365, David G, Philip K. Like, thank you guys. Y'all are unbelievable. But I kind of went two paths. Like, okay, if the 49ers offense does this, what they should do, this is what should happen. If the 49ers offense doesn't do what they should do, it just relies on throwing the ball and air raid system and empty sets and all that, here's how I think it's going to go. Two drastically different pathways with two drastically different results. And I think we've seen that this year. It's been a weird year. It's been a very weird year. But some of you guys are just the MVPs of the 49ers rush, and I'm so thankful. RTP, FTW, really appreciate you, man, all you've done. Mike C, Kim in the house. What's up, Jason? How we doing, Alejandro? We got Pineapple, Steven, don't bother me. Love it. What's up, JD? Really glad to see all of you guys. Sonia, you guys are the best of the best. So let's start off with talking about what John Lynch said this morning on KNBR. Now, again, you know, the radio show and whatever else. So I don't want to cut a clip from there. I just want to read the exact quote. So I'm going to read it. It's a couple sentences, not too long. And then I want to talk about it. And I hope this doesn't upset people. Obviously, I'm going to give my take. It's our podcast, but you're watching, listening to me. Here's what John Lynch said on KNBR when asked about Kyle Shanahan and fans being upset and, you know, fire Shanahan, all that different stuff. Here's what John Lynch said, okay? Quote, I found the whole discussion on Kyle rather comical. We've won four of the last five division championships, been to two Super Bowls. The standard here is to win Super Bowls, and we've fallen short. I understand that. But we have an excellent head coach, and the fact that people are talking about it, I do find it comical, end quote. That's John Lynch. Now, the fire Shanahan people don't feel validated in their criticism. And so they're just like, comical, I'll show you comical. And they're going to social media to bash and yeah, whatever. And they don't feel heard. They don't feel respected. And I get that. I totally understand. And one of my... As a teacher coach, I struggle because I'm an a-hole. Let's just be very, very honest. Like, I think things are funny, and I laugh at things all the time. It's a problem in my relationship with my wife. She's incredible. Sometimes she'll say something I disagree. My instant response is always make a joke or laugh. Like, those are my first two. I got two buttons, joke or laugh. It doesn't matter if it's not funny. I'm like the doctor on The Simpsons. Like I'm just going to laugh. It's just what it's who I am, right? And I understand how that pisses people off, especially Miss Chapman. And so, like, trying to learn that. So whenever you have a fan base that is really, really upset, and rightfully so, and you get the comical not once but twice at the start and at the end of that, it's just like, ooh, Joe Pesci, you think I'm funny? You think I'm funny? Like that's, I totally get that. I am much more closer. You guys watch the show. You know me. I'm think I'm funny? How? Like a clown? I'm closer to John Lynch on this than I am the other side. And I try not to always deal with the fire Shanahan and, you know, whatever and all the stuff. And I know some of those people are going to be here in the chat and freaking love you guys. You are the best. Bobo, I don't see him in here yet, but he's going to show up. Let's step back. I was going to do a whole episode on this. We might be here for a long time today. Hopefully you guys don't mind. Let's step back and just look at other coaches in the NFL briefly that have not been fired. They're not talking about firing these coaches, and they won't be fired. These coaches will not be fired, but how it kind of relates to Kyle Shanahan. So here we go. Kyle Shanahan, right? He's been here 8 years. Four losing seasons so far, if you count this year as a losing season. We'll see how that ends up. Don't know. I have the 49ers going 3-2 down the stretch, which it would get them to 8-9, which is quote-unquote a losing season. That's where I think we are now. Obviously, there is a world in which the 49ers make the playoffs, but let's act like we're on the same trajectory we have been on just for this conversation alone. Now, if you want to say, oh, we're winning it all, we're winning out, whatever else, then we would only have three losing seasons. But currently, with the way the expectations were for 2024, where we are currently, I'm counting. That's four losing seasons out of eight. That's bad. That's probably the biggest Shanahan critique that is out there. The second, you haven't won a Super Bowl yet. Okay? We'll deal with that in a second. Now, you've four losing seasons out of eight. That's bad. And so the 49ers either have a losing season or you're in the NFC Championship. Like, it's drastic. You either aren't a part of the playoff run or you're freaking in the NFC champion, which is so rare. And even really before the 49ers or before Kyle Shanahan, you can go back to Harbaugh. We've had 12 years. We've had six losing seasons and we've been in the NFC championship six times. It's you're hot or cold. There is no, you know, you're getting one playoff win and what we don't do that. We're going to the NFC Championship or we ain't going anywhere. That's just how it's been. Now, four losing seasons out of eight, two NFC Championships, won those, right? Eight playoff wins, three division titles. We've finished first. Again, there's four teams in your division. 8 years. That means every team should have two. We have three. We have the most. That's huge. So he's got the most division titles in this reign. Now, let's look at some other coaches who will not be fired this year. Will not. Zach Taylor. He's had three losing seasons in 6 years, so at about the same pace. He's had one AFC championship, five playoff wins, which is remarkable, and two division titles. He's done great. His team sucks right now. Sucks. But there is no conversation about moving on from Zach Taylor. It's not taking place. Zach Taylor is there to stay. Their defense is the problem. Quarterback and coaching staff works well. Whatever else. Kevin Stefanski. Three losing seasons in 5 years. One playoff win. One. Zero division titles. Somehow this dude's won two Coach of the Years. That's insane to me. The Writers Association is jacked. Not that all writers are. The system is completely flawed. We understand that. Whatever else. Nobody's firing Kevin Stefanski at all. They're going to fire the DC. They ain't firing him. Brian Daboll. He won Coach of the Year too. Joke. 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 You don't win Coach of the Year for going 9-7. That's stupid. But two losing seasons, one playoff win, zero division titles, and his team has lost, I think, eight in a row. Seven in a row. He ain't getting fired. Yeah, they're cutting top 10 picks, releasing them. All like he ain't going nowhere. They still got the GM there. I don't know how that's possible. Daboll ain't going nowhere. And then you get Shanahan. Like, so again, my goal in this was like, okay, let's look at some of the other coaches who have not gotten close to performing as well as Shanahan, currently are not performing as close to Shanahan is now, even in a down year, and those teams still not going to fire their head coaches. Now, ooh, shout out to Lori, says, what does Jed York think? Jed York loves Kyle Shanahan. Jed York went through Chip Kelly, Tom Sula, the Harbaugh personality disorder, whatever the hell that is, you know, fighting and undercutting and all those things. And throughout the entire process of Jed York, whether you like him, love him, hate him, whatever, I don't really care. He said, I want a coach and a GM that get along and there is, you know, they work together. That's what I want. He went through Trent Baalke and his toxic whatever self. He'd been through that. You ain't got that now. Yeah, Captain America and Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan, you say whatever you want. That dude loves the 49ers, loves this team. He loves this team. Literally, he's a ball boy on this team. Like, and he's a nostalgic guy. So, like, that's there. What's up, Tara? How we doing, man? What's up, brother? Oh, we got Tim Ford in the house. He says, is Johnny Holland an option at DC? I don't think so. He's too long in the tooth. We need something, though. The DC sucks. They suck. Now, all right, so let's look at this. And shout out to my man, Trustin61. In the 2000s, he brought this up. He's like, man, we were talking back and forth through email. He says, in the 2000s, we had 8 consecutive losing seasons. I remember those times. I remember those times vividly. Vividly. Diehard Niner fan, and you're doing – now, and again, I'm not saying if you fire Shanahan, which they're not going to do, but if they did, that you go back to Chip Kelly or Dennis Erickson or Tom Sula. I'm not saying that. That's all I'm saying at all. I understand that there is. It's not Kyle Shanahan or Tom Sula. Those are not your two options. And everybody wants to put out there Ben Johnson, Ben Johnson, Ben Johnson. I'm sorry. Ben Johnson is a damn good coach. He can't do what he's doing in Detroit with this offensive line. Now, maybe he would prioritize offensive line much more than the 49ers. Sure. Obviously, any team has done that. Literally, we are the worst team at prioritizing D-line, or offensive line, or D-line. I get that. And I'm going to go through a rant. I haven't even started the show that we're supposed to talk about today. I'm going to go through a rant on my critiques of Kyle Shanahan, which are many and which are justified. And that's okay. That's okay. But we've got to talk. Oh, let's just do that now, okay? Let's do this now. Here are... Kyle Shanahan deserves criticism. I am not a, man, let's defend Kyle Shanahan blindly and he makes no... No, I ain't that guy. I ain't that guy with it. I could tell you every single head coach does wrong things. Mike Tomlin is my number one. He is my number one coach. That dude makes a lot of errors. Clock management, poor decisions, you know, fourth downs. Like, it's rough out there. Hires terrible coordinators. It's rough out there. But still... if you tell me I could have anybody, I'm taking Mike Tomlin every single time. He does not give you a schematic advantage like Shanahan does. That's a positive. Let's go through the negatives. I'm not a fire Shanahan guy, but he does deserve criticism. Number one, hires terrible coordinators. Friends only, nepotism, nepotism, nepotism. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I understand he's part of that, but he worked his way up several different stops, proved he was the guy, but he only hires his friends or his dad's friends. And the only time he didn't was Steve Wilkes, and that dude, he freaking was throwing him under the bus week 5. I mean, he hated Steve Wilkes and probably should have fired him, but made the worst hire of all time, the worst defensive coordinator in today's NFL. It's Nick Sorensen, 100%, and you've stuck with him. Brian Schneider, the worst special teams coordinator in the NFL. He's proven that to you back-to-back years. You stuck with him. Before that, Richard Hightower, his best friend from Texas, hook him, get the SEC title tomorrow, stuck with him for, what, 6 years, even though he sucked? I hate that. Sticks with terrible coordinators. That's a legitimate criticism. Kyle Shanahan, criticism number two. Situational play calling to pressure situations, as bad as it can get. 4th-and-2 empty set after you ran the ball 6 times consecutively for positive yards. Sure, that's stupid. going nothing but pass heavy, nonstop, and fourth quarter playoff games in one possession games. Stupid. Red zone issues. Got to keep running the ball, Kyle. Just because you had one negative run doesn't mean you stay away from it. Major issue. Misuse of draft capital. Are you kidding me? At his position, Kyle Shanahan played wide receiver. We've spent more draft capital on wide receivers since Shanahan showed up here than any other team in the NFL. We spent more salary cap capital on wide receivers since any team since he showed up here. We spent a first-round pick on Ricky Pearsall. Doesn't have a catch in three games. Spent a fourth-round pick on Jacob Cowan. You won't even let him line up. Meanwhile, offensive line is drowning. Defensive line might be one of the worst in the NFL without Bosa. I would argue the worst defensive line in the NFL when Nick Bosa's not out there. Meanwhile, let's just keep drafting wide receivers. That's a major issue. Neglects the O-line. Neglects the D-line. That's more of a recency thing. Highest drafted kicker in the NFL, he sucks. Highest drafted punter in the NFL, he sucks. Yeah, well, got one good year. Yeah, you're paying him top punter money to be a borderline top 10 punter. Misuse of draft capital consistently. Build in the trenches, win in the trenches. Meanwhile, we're drafting third-round kickers, fourth-round punters. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Refuses to use special teams as an advantage at all. Zero fake punts or fake field goals in eight consecutive years. Won't allow him to do it. Won't let coordinators do their job, but he sure as hell will let them suck consistently. He sees it as we're going to win on offense, defense, be vanilla as hell, run the simplest scheme in the NFL in defense, don't blitz, stay back, make them drive 10-plus plays, and everybody does it. I hate that. Pays his guys more than he should. Buckner, you traded. After that, he said, well, we're not doing that again. Pay everybody. Hasn't worked out well. Now, the one thing I will say, Parag Marante, we have not been in salary cap issues at all. In fact, we have the most salary cap available of any team in the NFL currently. So even though he is paying these guys, we're doing okay. The books have been good, but no way in hell you pay Brandon Ayuk $30 million. That was dumb. And it hasn't panned out. Now, maybe that changes and he becomes a really good wide receiver, or you get a bunch of what he did last year. I don't know. Anyway, I hate that.
Are you a person who tends to overspend on or around the holidays? Well, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. And the best part is you don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can start investing your money in just 5 minutes. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be as small as $5 a day or just some spare change. That's right. Acorns can round up every purchase you make to the dollar and automatically invest your spare change for you. So whenever you go to get your coffee before you go on that shopping trip, guess what? That's investing. I've used Acorns for a long time, way before this sponsorship started. And a big reason why is because you can invest without time and without a lot of money, and you can choose how aggressive you want to be with the amount of money that you invest. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Horrible in free agency, back-to-back years. Is that John Lynch him? He's the final decision maker. Hargrave, worst deal ever. That dude was trash from the start. You paid him way too much money. He was 32 years old. He's going to be cut 100% next year. Save a lot of that money back, but you never got anything for him. This year, Leonard Floyd, nope, didn't get what you paid for. Jordan Elliott, nope, didn't get what you paid for. Devondre Campbell, nope, didn't get what you paid for. All major misses. Zero Super Bowls. That's the number one criticism. And again, I'm trying to lay out because I get a lot of, you're a Kyle Homer. You're a Kyle Homer. No, I'm not. Why can't I have a nuanced take? Why? Why is that such a thing anymore? Kyle Shanahan should be the head coach of this team. I'm not. I got more. Zero Super Bowls. That's a critique. Now you look across the NFL. Again, put things into perspective. This is not a bailout or whatever else. I'm just saying, man, look at the NFL. Four teams have never even made it to the Super Bowl. Shanahan's been twice. That's 12% of the league hasn't even made it to the Super Bowl. He's done it twice in 8 years. That's crazy. Eight teams never won a Super Bowl. He's in that kind of category or whatever. That's 37.5% of the league have never won a Super Bowl as a franchise. And I get, everybody says, well, Kyle chokes. My thing against that, and it will always be this, the 49ers walked onto the field losing in the fourth quarter in overtime and walked off the field with the offense winning three consecutive times. You were losing, offense goes out there, now you're winning. Well, defense gives it up, you're losing, offense goes out there, gets the lead back. Losing, fourth quarter, go out there, winning. You get one defensive stop, and now he's not a choker. He's an offensive guy. I don't know, man. I just struggle with, like, these blanket statements. Like, I don't know why people don't have nuanced takes anymore on these things. Oh, what's up? We got Perk in the house. My man. Dude, so good to see you, man. He's freaking awesome. Appreciate your positivity that you bring to the community nonstop. It makes a huge impact. And a lot of people in here. Shout out to Tara. Appreciate you. You know, he's got, I think these are your Shanahan issues. Assistant coach hires one, play calling two, draft priorities three, special teams priority four, overpays buddies five, doesn't take accountability six, free agent picks seven, no Super Bowl. There's critiques there. Do I think Kyle Shanahan's the best coach in the NFL? I do not. You don't get to fire Shanahan and hire Andy Reid. That's not a thing. Plus, Andy Reid's super old. I think he's the oldest coach in the NFL currently. I think that's a big deal. I really, really do. Now, let's do positive Shanahan things. Am I allowed to do that? You're going to be mad at me? I'm going to do it anyway. I love y'all. And if you are a fire Shanahan person, I'm not here to tell you don't be a fire Shanahan guy. That's not, or a girl or whatever. No, if that's your thing, do that. I'm telling you my pros and cons for Shanahan, and I think that this outweighs things in a positive light. We run a very innovative offense. Period. You do not need anything besides, like, there is nobody in the NFL that does not think, like, we run a bad offense at all. Like, we run a very good offense. Is it consistent in the red zone and all those other things that I said? No. And the fact that you have a Brock Purdy, proven quarterback, who's young, super young, and Kyle Shanahan together, man, why would you walk away from a coach quarterback combo? Both are young and both have proven that they can get it done. I understand Purdy's had a bad year, whatever. I understand Kyle's had a bad year, whatever. But we're still, like, top 10 offense with the worst offensive line out there. You don't move on from that. I don't think Has any team moved on from a young coach and a young quarterback that have proven that they can do it together? Has any team walked away from those things ever in the history of football? I don't know. Maybe you could talk about Harbaugh and Cap, but man, Cap by that point, struggling team, that roster like was terrible, and Harbaugh was fighting with everybody in the building. Harbaugh has a shelf life of like 4 to 5 years everywhere he goes. Just what it is. Same thing's going to happen in the Chargers. I like Harbaugh. I like Harbaugh a lot, but like, come on, man, that dude can't last. That personality can't last. Just can't. Now, work ethic for Kyle Shanahan's off the charts. That dude is, he's a killer, man. And everybody talks about it. And that's worked with him in the building, played like coached with him, played for him. Dude's just a workaholic. Like, he bleeds this team. He's going to work his tail end off to get whatever else. And players come here because of him. You don't get Trent Williams in that trade. He had a deal to go to Minnesota for more money and a higher draft pick. And he said, I ain't going. I'll retire. Trade me to 49ers nowhere else. You don't get Richard Sherman. He came here because of Kyle. You don't get Pierre Garçon. I understand like that's not like a home run, whatever. You don't get Kyle Juszczyk. And I understand people are ready to move on now. But, dude, Kyle Juszczyk was the best fullback in football for 6 consecutive years with us. You don't get Alex Mack. You don't get Sam Darnold. I understand it didn't play well for us. But, like, come on, man. Like, guys come here because of Shanahan. That is a fact. That is a fact. Fact. And then you look at his playoff success. Y'all talk about choke, whatever. He's got 8 playoff wins. He's 8-4. That's a damn good record, man. He's got the same amount of playoff wins as his dad, Mike Shanahan, and Mike Tomlin, my number one coach. He has the same amount of playoff wins as those guys. Those guys coached a lot longer than he has now. He's got more playoff wins than Sean McVay, Chuck Knox, Bruce Arians, Mike Ditka, George Halas, Dick Vermeil. Now, and a lot of those guys have Super Bowl titles, and I understand that. And I get that that's a tipping point. And, man, if Kyle had a Super Bowl right now, maybe this conversation ain't happening. I get that. I totally understand. Again, more playoff wins than Schottenheimer, John Gruden, Kubiak, Brian Billick, McDermott, Jim Harbaugh. He's got more than all those guys. He's been here 8 years. He's averaging a playoff win per year. That's elite, elite, elite. You want to know how elite that is? He's 1 playoff win behind Jimmy Johnson, Vince Lombardi, John Madden, and Tony Dungy. All those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Man, most of those guys, I think all those guys got a Super Bowl. I understand he hasn't done that yet. 2 playoff wins behind Walsh and Seifert. I understand that they won championships. I get that. I'm not discounting. Again, I started with my criticisms and then went to the positives. It's both in. Yeah, criticize them. Replace them. I don't know. I don't know. Appreciate you, Lori. I need it. I need it. Right here, Scott. Shanahan needs to play checkers, not chess the rest of the season. Get back to basics. I fundamentally agree with you, and I've been screaming this. As a coach, when things go bad, you go back to the basics. KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. KISS. Keep it simple. How is this team built? And we're going to dive into the Bears. How is this team built? Offensively, run the ball. Have your counters off of the threat or illusion of the run. Play action. Move the pocket. Quick screens. All that stuff. Take your shots deep. I don't know where empty sets came from and why that was been beneficial. Maybe whenever you had space creators and Christian McCaffrey was a stud and Brandon Ayuk was a stud, you don't have that anymore. And as soon as you do that, you lose your identity. When you start throwing the ball and Brock Purdy throws the ball, Brandon Allen throwing the ball 30-plus times. What? That's not who we are. Defensively, we are a zone coverage team. That's how we drafted. Get pressure with 4. Can't do that. So we go man and still bring 4? What? I'm Ron Burgundy? Like, oh, okay. We're a zone defensive team. That's how we draft our guys. And so our counter play on third downs is going to be man coverage, but still bring four. When did that happen? We've never been that team. That's not who we are. It's not who we drafted. It's not the scheme that's worked. What the? What? Why? And it hasn't worked all year. And we just keep freaking, oh, it'll work this time. It'll work this time. It'll work this time. Busted coverages all year in man coverage. Almost all of them exclusively in man. It'll work this time. It'll work this time. Yeah, this time it's going to work. Get back to the basics, who you are. We're actually stopping the run in early downs. We're a good first, second down defense. We're the worst third down defense in the NFL. We're the worst red zone defense in the NFL. Why? We go man, and we go man. We can't run man. We don't know how to align to it. The three most basic principles for any defensive team: alignment, assignment, execution. I mean, this is just coaching 101. Alignment, you got to line up. Assignment, what's your job here? Execution, do your job. Do your job. We can't do that. We can't align right. We can't count to 11. Can't count to 11. And there were several, you know, I just finished all the defensive special teams tape for the Bills game. That's all loaded. The special teams loaded now. I'll have that posted after the show. But, man, you're in the fourth quarter of that Bills game, and we're still lining up incorrectly on defense consistently. Not once or twice, not three or four. I'm talking six or seven times where guys are like, I don't know where to go, and we're in man coverage. We don't know how to line up to it. That's up top. We can't line up right. We got blown assignments all over the place. Renardo Green can't. He has no clue how to play man coverage, and we just keep forcing him to do it, and it just keeps killing us. Jair Brown can't play man coverage. Keep forcing him to do it. Devondre Campbell's actually gotten better at it, but still not good at it. We just keep forcing everybody to do it. I don't know, man. Terradome right here. Shanahan pauses. Thanks for summing this up, man. You are the best. Go check out Terradome's YouTube channel if you haven't yet, man. Just type in Terradome. He's the freaking man. In person, on the screen, amazing human. Thank you. I really do appreciate you, brother. One, innovative offense. Two, coach quarterback combo. Three, work ethic. Four, attracts players. Five, playoff success. Yeah. Dude, you are the freaking man. Let's summarize. I want to get through a couple more comments about Kyle. Then let's switch to Bears conversation. Probably should have made this a couple shows, but that's okay. We're here for the long haul, baby. Jared Dog, we're here for a long time, not a good time, you know? Anyway, sorry. Jared Dog, love Kyle, but he does need a soundboard coach, someone who is allowed to tell Kyle anything. Yeah, I do wish that. You know, I wish there were just like two plays. Not that I want to tell Kyle or somebody to tell Kyle what to do, but just somebody to say, hey, Kyle, the next three plays, you got to run the ball. Or like, hey, it's fourth down. You don't have to run the ball, but you have to have a running back behind the quarterback or beside the quarterback. You need the threat of a run play on this pivotal third and short, fourth and short. Hey, Kyle, you've thrown seven consecutive passes, and you've gone three and out twice. Just want to let you know that. Like, you got the good angel, the bad angel. Kyle, he surrounds himself with good angels. Yes, men. It's nepotism. And that's just what it is. These guys work for my daddy. You know what I mean? Like, he has to have that. The loyalty is everything. Shanahan loyalty program. It's defeated. It's defeated. That's what it is. A couple other comments. Let me see. I'm scrolling through here. Pressure on Grinder. We're going to talk about that one. Yeah, for sure. All right. I think we're good. Right here, Dave. What's up, Dave? Kyle's ego won't let him listen to anyone else. That's a bad thing. But the funny thing is, like, people say, like, he won't change, he won't evolve. I think he has changed. I think he has evolved. You don't draft horrible, you know, people anymore after Reuben Foster. You stay away from that. You don't draft injured players after Kinlaw anymore. You stay away from that. You don't draft super green players like Trey Lance anymore. He stays away from that. Like, he has adapted and changed his strategy over and over and over again. I think he is arrogant. I don't think arrogance is a flaw. I think it can be. But, yeah, he needs somebody to check him. But the problem is, every time he gets somebody that knows what the hell's going on, he gets hired away. We're probably about to lose Brian Griese, too, if I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. I don't know. Right here, Kyle needs some cuts. He goes for it on 4th-and-2, and it don't work. Everybody criticizes him for that. I get that, but, like, my thing is I'm glad he went for it on that 4th-and-2, but why the hell did you go empty? That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. But, yeah, it, you know, what happens is people watch Dan Campbell going for it, guts, 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 but at the same time, if Dan Campbell wasn't so dumb, he would have beat us in the NFC Championship. Dan Campbell gave us that win because he's so dumb, because he has so much guts, because he has big balls, as everybody says. Oh, like Dan Campbell lost the NFC Championship by himself. They should have beat us. Should have beat us. Kyle outsmarted him. Kyle called better plays down the stretch. Kyle ran the ball in the fourth quarter. Kyle went for it at the right times and all those things. Like, that's a Super Bowl berth, period. But yeah, sometimes Kyle's a little weak. He's a big momentum guy. He's not an analytics guy. If he feels we're making steps forward, he'll keep going for it. But when you get that penalty, you get a tackle for loss, you get an almost turnover, and it's 4th-and-2 or 1, Kyle, he don't care about analytics. How do you feel momentum wise with going for it on 3rd and 4th down? That's a big Kyle thing, whether that's right or wrong. Yeah. Slick right here. And this was my number one criticism of Kyle. He says what really upset him, I'm paraphrasing here, was hearing Kyle saying he's happy with Sorensen's game calling out loud. Kyle never went to bat for Steve Wilks once, and we had a top three defense all year long. We had the best fourth quarter defense in the NFL. Yeah, Wilks fell apart in the playoffs. It should have been. I don't have a problem with firing Wilks. I do have a problem with how Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Kyle Shanahan treated Wilks publicly. Now, maybe Jed York or somebody was like, hey, dude, we can't do this to our coaches. We can't undercut our coaches publicly. And this is what I hope. This is me being a glass half full guy. Hopefully somebody's like, dude, we don't undercut our coaches as players and head coach. We don't do that. Don't do that. And I don't think that you should. I think criticism, and Kyle's not a friendly guy. I guarantee you there has been several heated discussions by Kyle and Nick Sorensen and Brian Schneider behind closed doors. I guarantee that. We don't see that, and we should not see that. I mean, you see how much Kyle yells on the sidelines, and you talk to guys like Robert Saleh, McVay, McDaniel, LaFleur, all the guys that have coached with Kyle in the past and are quote-unquote friends, they'll talk about Kyle chewing their ass the whole game. Like, Kyle is not nice. But from behind the podium, I get that. Yeah, you undercut Steve Wilks like a beast. But, yeah, that's what that is. So, all right, let's transition. Let's jump over to the Bears talk. I'm just glad that we, I don't know. Always, you know, reach out to me, 40hoursrushpodcast@gmail.com. I love the conversations when I have time to get to the emails. Sorry if I'm not responding as fast as I can. We got a lot going on over here in the Chapman household, but I'll get to them eventually. At least I'll try my hardest to. But yeah, let me know. And I love conversation. I love disagreements. If you disagree with my takes, that's okay. Let me know your takes and let's have a conversation. We can evolve from there, but I'm not on the fire Shanahan crowd. I think if Kyle had another negative year and goes 6-11 next year, he still wouldn't be fired. After that, then the conversation can take place, but we're not there yet. Now, the best place to watch and learn what all my takes, and if you are like, well, Kyle's not innovative, I call BS. Go watch the All-22 tape, which we have every single play, offense, defense, special teams for the past 3.5 years, right here.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
Do appreciate you, Terra Dome. He says the Patreon is happy. It comes out to like, I think it's like 30 cents a video we do over there. We do a lot of video. I do more videos there than I do publicly. And that's all scheme coverage, coaching based. So like if you want to learn football, the 4yardsrush.com, go check it out. 7-day free trial. I think it's worth your money. And if you're a diehard draft fan, not too long around the corner. You get my entire draft write-up of 200 plus characters, film breakdowns of all draft prospects, how they fit, how they don't fit. It's there. You want to learn football? I've coached for a long time. I think it's beneficial, even if you disagree with my takes. Now, let's go to the Bears. The Bears are a mess, so much so they just fired their coach, Matt Eberflus. It was hard for them to fire. I feel like Matt Eberflus was kind of like, if you think we're going to fire Shanahan and you see what the Bears went through with Matt Eberflus before, like Harbaugh was open to going there. They waited 3 years. He never had a winning season. He was so bad. Couldn't manage anything. And that's what eventually got him fired. And this is now going to be the Bears' first game since they're fired head coach. That I hate that. Playing a team after they fire their head coach, they always get pumped up because they know jobs are lost. Money's lost. Finances lost. If we don't shape up, and they're coming off 10 days rest. Oh, right here. Thanksgiving Day game. That was their last game. Thanksgiving. They got extra days rest and everybody's getting healthy. That's what it is. Thomas Brown is their new coach. He coached with McVay. We'll go through his kind of stuff, but they're going to have some extra juice this week, and they're going to need it because they've lost six in a row. That's terrible. They committed a lot of penalties. They're not well-disciplined on offense, defense, special teams. They don't turn the ball over, which is really weird when you have a younger team. And they've just found so many weird ways to lose. They have lost six games by one score or less. We've lost four. That's not good. They've won 2 one-score games. We've won 2-1s. Both of our teams have just found so, like how the 49ers felt losing to the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and the Rams. That's been their season. Twice as bad as ours. They played better than us consistently. Their record's worse than us by one game. They have played better football than us. I do not just like they're a better team than us. They're poorly coached. We're poorly coached too, but they're good, but they don't turn the ball over. They're plus one in the point differential. So they've scored 241 on offense. That's 23rd. Not good. Points allowed. They're 240. So 1 point difference. They're tied ninth. Defensive driven team with a dynamic quarterback and wide receivers. That's who they are. They have not beaten a good team. Very similar to the 49ers. Their wins are against the Titans, the Rams, the Panthers, the Jags. Those are their four wins. None of those are good teams. 49ers. Our wins are against the Jets, the Patriots, Seattle, Dallas, Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay is probably the best team out of those, but still not a good team. And neither of these teams can beat good teams. Well, good news. You're playing each other. One of you will be forced to relegation. Here are their six losses, most recent. They lost to Washington by 3 points on that huge Hail Mary. They got blown out by the Cardinals. They got blown out by the Patriots. They lost by 1 point to the Packers, who blew us out. They lost by 3 points to Minnesota, and they lost by 3 points at Detroit. Like, they're playing some good teams pretty close, but they're still losing. They find ways to lose. That's kind of who they are. Now, PFF unit rankings for these two teams. Out of 32, all these rankings. Offense, they're 26th. They make a lot of mistakes. A lot of penalties, a lot of sacks. They are the most sacked team in the NFL. They've given up 49 sacks. And that's 8 more than the next team. Like, they are... Quarterback takes a lot. Doesn't turn the ball over, but he gets sacked all the time. That kills them. Penalties, it's bad. Defensively, they're 8th. Defensive dominated team. Special teams, 24th. Technically, they have worse special teams than us, PFF, but guess who their DC is? I'm pretty sure it is Richard Hightower, who we lost. Is that correct? Was he already fired? He might have been fired. Oh, come on, man. Show Show the thing. Let me see. I think it is Hightower. Bears special teams coach. Yeah, Richard Hightower. Shanahan's bestie, who we fired. Like, we didn't fire. We allowed him to look for another position, which, well, I don't know why. We fired Wilkes. That dude, top three defense. Get the hell out of here. Pack your stuff and get out. Hightower, 6 years of subpar performance. You can go find another job, bud. Like, anyway. Now, they're 19th overall, the Bears. 49ers, fourth on offense, 12th on defense, 15th on special teams. No clue how that works. Ninth overall. That's the PFF unit rankings. Now let's learn about Thomas Brown, new interim head coach. I doubt he's going to be the head coach there long term, but if they go on a tear, oof. I think Ben Johnson's most likely landing spot would be with the Bears. I think that makes the most sense. Like, if the 49ers, let's just say, again, we did this whole thing about Shanahan ain't going nowhere. But if Shanahan did go somewhere and Ben Johnson could choose between the Bears and the 49ers, I think he'd choose the Bears. I do. I think that's where he's been in that division. He likes that part of the country. Got Caleb Williams. I think I'd rather go there. Why would you follow up Shanahan? Why would you want to do that? If you have the choice, I think that the Bears are more, there are no expectations, man. They're the Bears. They suck. They always have. Anyway, Thomas Brown went to Georgia, played running back there in 04 to 07, freshman all SEC. He was a 6th round pick to the Falcons back in 2008. His first game as a head coach, played for the Falcons and the Browns, had a 4-year career, nothing great. Then he went back to Georgia as a strength and conditioning coach. Chattanooga, coached at Marshall, Wisconsin, Georgia, Miami, Florida, South Carolina, jumped to the NFL under McVay and the Rams in 2020, won a Super Bowl with them, and worked his way up. Running backs coach, then assistant head coach, then tight ends coach, assistant head coach, then offensive coordinator for Carolina. Now he's with the Bears, and he just keeps getting promoted. He's now their interim. Their OC, Chris Beatty, Canadian football player, baby. Played for the Stallions and the Hamilton Tiger Cats. How cool is that? High school coach that bounced around, made it to Northern Illinois, the Fighting Jimmy Wards. West Virginia, Vanderbilt, Illinois, Wisconsin. That's where he's met and coached with Thomas Brown. They rose up together. Then Virginia, Maryland, Pittsburgh. And he's only been in the NFL for 3 years. That's crazy. He was with the Los Angeles Chargers for 3 years as a wide receiver coach, and now he's an OC. Eric Washington, their DC. Their DC, yeah, I misspoke earlier. Special teams coordinator is Richard Hightower. Their defensive coordinator is Eric Washington. He's been around for a while, and he's an A&M guy, so I have no respect for him. You coach at Texas A&M, get that crap out of here, baby. Hook him. Coach at Ohio, Northwestern. Jumped on with the Bears under Lovie Smith back in 08. Carolina, Buffalo. And now he's with Chicago for his first year. He coached back there in the past, but now he's back. So that's kind of their coaching staff. Yeah, Red Jet. Oh, you're awesome. Not over, but meh. That's where we are. Now, injuries. 49ers injuries are bad. Who's going to play? Who's not? We'll find out more today. Let me just refresh and see. 49ers are going to be having their next practice report coming out very, very soon. I needed to get this out today at this current time so I could go work out with the kiddo. Who's going to play? I don't want to spend much time conjecture on that. We're going to have a lot of guys out. But what we do know, the Bears are not. DeAndre Swift didn't practice yesterday, practice today. DJ Moore didn't practice yesterday, practice today. Mercedes Lewis didn't practice yesterday, practice today. They have 3 players that did not practice today out of their entire roster. Running back Roschon Johnson, Texas boy, concussion protocol. I don't know if he's going to play. And it would be awesome. Let me phrase this correctly. I hope he plays and I hope he gets cleared. I hope he's healthy. He's one of my favorite players in the NFL, one of the best personalities in the NFL. I love that dude. He would tear us apart. From a 49ers perspective, you don't want him in the lineup. He is a tough-ass runner that will run through our faces. Jair Brown is pissing in his pants thinking he has to go against Roshan Johnson. The year, as bad as it's been for Jair Brown, can get worse. This is, if I'm the Bears, my entire offensive game plan is targeting 27 and the run, pass, everything. Like, he's been that bad. I actually think, I'm going to phrase this, the worst player the 49ers have this year, a lot of people think I would say Jake Brindle or Devondre Campbell or Colton McKivitz. I don't think so. I think it's Jair Brown. I think Jair Brown's the worst player we've had this year, consistently. Now, he's healthy, and I love that, and I hope he takes a turn. That dude has ruined games this year. I'm very concerned about 27 playing this game. But if Roshan Johnson's out, that's huge because we know Jair Brown can't tackle, and a physical guy like him will kill him. Their tackle, Ryan Bates, he's the swing tackle. He's not playing. He has not practiced today. I don't know if he plays in the game. It's safety Elijah Hicks, kind of their third safety. He is a special teamer. He did not practice either. Everybody else healthy. Us, oh, man. Now, historically, the 49ers and Bears have had some great matchups. 49ers have won 35, Bears 33 with one tie. We lost the last game. I was at that one. I was at the last two Bears games. I don't know if I'm making the game this weekend. I don't know. We got some family stuff. I want to go. I always want to go. I want to go to every game. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to swing it, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try. We played them September 11, 2022. That was the raid game, the Trey Lance versus Justin Fields. Lost 19-10. Man, guy next to me. It was one of the funniest things. I meet Vicky there, who's like one of, you know, she helps with the 4 hours rush road trips, and she's incredible. Great friend now. So I go meet her in the stands, and she comes to our pre-party or whatever. We're talking, and the game was terrible. It was an absolute monsoon. And next to us, this guy goes, "Hey." I don't think I've ever told the story on here. He goes, "Hey, I follow you on Twitter." And I was like, "Oh, what's up, man?" And I shake his hand, and he just vomits all over my shoes. And I told him I wasn't going to tell this story, but I feel like the statute of limitations has surpassed. That was 2022. We're 2.5 years later. I can tell the story now. And I was just like, dude, he threw up all over my shoes. It was awesome. Anyway, the tsunami game, it was raining. Cleaned my shoes. We changed seats because everybody was leaving, whatever else. But anyway, that's how I feel about that game. Dante Pettis scored touchdowns on us. You got to be kidding me. Kenny Powers says, "I follow you," and then threw up everywhere. He was sloshed. But anyway, yeah, it was gross. I was very upset. I had my 11s on, and I regretted it because they got freaking moonwashed. And anyway, that's a whole story. Now, let's put a microscope on the Bears defense, and let's talk about who they are and what they're about. Because their team, the Bears' entire team and strength, is the defensive side of the ball. That's going to shift with, you know, obviously Caleb Williams and whatever else, whoever their next head coach is. Ninth in points scored, all these ranks are out of 32 teams, right? 22nd yards, 6 in turnovers. It's very rare to have a rookie quarterback not turn the ball over. He's holding the ball just like Justin Fields did, but he's not got the turnovers to go with it. Fourth and fumbles lost. Oh, gosh, I'm an idiot. I read them backwards. This is the defensive ranks. This has nothing to do with Caleb Williams. Scratch the last 30 seconds. If this was not a live show, I would end the show and edit that out, but I can't. John Chapman makes mistakes. Just call me Nick Sorensen. Man, I feel bad I did that. All right. Bears defense, 9th in points allowed, 22nd in yards allowed. You can move the ball. They don't let you score in the red zone. They're opposite of us. 6th in turnovers. They get a lot of turnovers. Their corners are the best strength of their team, corners and safeties. 4th in fumbles recovery. That scares me. We fumble the ball way too much. Brock Purdy among the league leaders in fumbles. He's had 7 fumbles this year. That's terrible. 11th in first downs. 3rd in pass touchdowns. Again, their corners are the strength of their team. Not just their defense, their team. 25th in rush yards. You can run the ball on them. And I know we're going to have everybody out with CMC and Jordan Mason, Elijah Mitchell, gone. You can run the ball. And you better run the ball against this team or it's going to get ugly. 29th in yards per rush every time we play a team. The Bills, They were terrible at yards per rush, and we ran the ball all over them. 120 yards at halftime, awesome. But then the game got so out of control, we had to get away from it. They're fifth in third downs. They're so good. Seventh and fourth downs. Best team in the NFL in the red zone. That's the matchup where I'm just like, damn. We can't score in the red zone to save our lives. They are the best red zone team in the NFL. That's a concern. We're the 27th. We're bottom five. That's bottom six, technically. How's that going to change without CMC, without Jordan Mason? Come on, Corindo. We need you now, buddy. We need you now. Their strengths, Kevin Byard, their safety, has historically been great. And kind of George Kittle's worst games have been against Kevin Byard. But he's been banged up. He's practicing. He didn't practice yesterday. He's longer in the tooth. He's older, so is Kittle. Can Kittle have two non-games in a row? I don't think so. Shanahan has to make an emphasis to get the ball to Kittle. Montez Sweat's a beast. He was drafted in the Nick Bosa draft. He's been awesome. They have three good corners. They're very good corners. Linebackers are sound, not amazing. Weaknesses, defensive tackles haven't been impressive. You can move, but we got Jake Brindle. So that's there. Hopefully it's Ben Barch and it's Dominic Pooney. We can move the ball up the middle. You still run the ball up the middle. And I really do believe with Isaac Garrido, you run the ball up the middle. Don't let him get outside. I know he's got the speed, but that dude can't read to save his life outside zone. He just can't do it. So all of his big runs have happened up the middle. The touchdown he scored was on an outside flare pass. I want runs up the middle. It's just what I want. Riley, what's up, brother? Appreciate you, man. Thank you for the super chat. He says, how do they go about practicing tackling these days? They don't. They don't. You wrap up some dummies. You fall on, you know, high jump pads that you pull over and whatever else. He says, are they even allowed to? Yes, you are allowed to practice. Yes, you are allowed to practice tackling. Seems like the whole league forgot how to break down. Well, the reason why you don't practice it too much is because of injuries. But, like, go back to if you've played or coached. The first thing, like, we would do tackling training camp for any team I ever coached. We're not going to go full speed till you know how to protect yourself and protect the other. And so you teach tackling basics, Riley. See what you hit. If you look down, what you see is what you hit. That's what we would type. We would always talk about that. See what you hit. And then we would teach bite the ball. Act like you are actually going to bite the football. That's going to force you to put your face mask up so you're not hurting your neck. And it's going to force you to help get your head across because the ball carrier carries across. And it helps you force a fumble. And so if you try to bite the ball, bring your feet, never stop your feet, Jair Brown. That means don't dive. That means don't kill your legs. Don't catch. You deliver the hit as a defense. Think Dre Greenlaw. And you wrap up. Double uppercut, double outside, don't care. Grab cloth, drive your feet, see what you hit. It's so simple. It's so simple. You can still practice those things. But this is a problem with working with adults and multimillionaires. Oh, that's beneath me. Jeff Ulbrich, when they fired Robert Saleh, said, we're going to go back to tackling drills and practice. And Sauce Gardner goes, man, we professionals, we ain't doing that. Said that publicly. Yeah, that's a problem. It's a problem for sure. So, yeah, they don't teach it too much anymore. They really, really don't. Now, we've got one more 49ers rush party, which I'm super excited, rush road trip. We're going to be down in Arizona. Whatever happens or not, I'm going. Even if the 49ers go 0-4 that last game, I want to close it out. I want to be there. The Arizona fans are the best of the business. And if you live anywhere close to Arizona, hopefully you come out too. We're the faithful. That's what it is. Now, if you haven't been to a 49ers rush road trip party, this is kind of what they're like. Maybe if I push the right button.
Going to 49ers games is awesome. But what's even better than that is going to 49ers games with the faithful, joining the community. And we got you covered. The 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its fourth year of bringing the faithful together. Night before parties, tailgates the day of. We got you covered. Go get your tickets at 49ersrushroadtrip.com.
All right. Now, let's flip it And let's talk about the Bears offense. Okay, sorry I messed up earlier. This is the Bears offense out of 32 teams. With Caleb Williams there, 23rd in points scored, 26th in yards. They don't move the ball well. They don't score a lot of points. They don't turn the ball over, though, and that helps the defense. That is the definition of complementary football. You don't put the others at a disadvantage because you suck. Can't score? Guess what? We're not going to kill the defense. Imagine that. Imagine that. Imagine that. Fifth in turnovers, sixth in fumbles lost, fourth in interceptions. Like, they protect the ball. They don't fumble. They don't throw picks. 22nd first downs, 27th in passing yards, which is crazy when you have Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. Like, they've got the weapons. It just ain't working. 21st pass touchdowns, 30th in pass yards per attempt. Not good, not good. 21st rush. They cannot sustain drives to save their life. 23rd rush attempts, but 10th in rushing touchdowns. 10th in rushing touchdowns. We're dead last in rushing touchdowns allowed, by the way. 21st in yards per rush attempt. They're going to be in third and longs. And they haven't, you know, you get those 1-2 Caleb Williams kind of highlights, scrambling around, throwing over his head, all this stuff. You're going to get one or two of those. But the Bears, whenever I'm going through film, man, a lot of they don't convert third downs. They're 29th out of 32 teams. That's bottom three. That's bottom three, actually. Man, I suck at that. 32, 31, 30. They're bottom four. Sorry, I got to get better at that. Fourth down, 16th. That's average. But red zone, if they don't move the ball well, they don't convert well. But when they get in the red zone, they're third best. Their offense scores touchdowns in the red zone. We have, the 49ers currently have the worst-ranked red zone defense since the stat has been tracked by the NFL starting in 1999. We were worse than that inaugural year with Dennis Erickson, by the way. That's how bad we are, Nick Sorensen. So next time you're somewhere, you don't say, how do I, when you mess up, don't apologize. Or no, do apologize. But say, my bad, I Nick Sorensen'd it. Like, that needs to be our new, like, thing. Oh, my bad, I was Nick Sorensen. Kind of like whenever I messed up on reading. I'm going to start saying that. My bad, just call me Nick Sorensen, okay? We're going to see if we can get this implemented. Now, the strengths of the offense, DJ Moore is their best player. Caleb Williams, you got to be careful. Man, you go man defense against Caleb Williams on third down and you only bring four. I think Caleb Williams could have the best game of his career this week because of Nick Sorensen. If you just stay in zone and make him drive consistently, we're going to be okay. You go four-man pressure, cover one man, we're going to get screwed. We are going to get screwed. Oh, there we go. JD, thank you. This is the way to do it. Trouble counting, John, doing that Nick Sorensen math. There it is. See? That's what I'm talking about. I love it. I love it. That is awesome. That is awesome. Let's see here. Weaknesses, run game doesn't work. Left guard and center, not great. Tight ends, they've been bad. Cole Kmet's good, but haven't been great. It's rough. So let's do favorite matchups. Okay. When the 49ers are on offense, I think you could run very well against this linebackers and these defensive tackles inside. That's where the 49ers are going to have the most success just based off of matchups and talent. You can run this ball up in the middle against the Bears. All teams have done it. Now, I don't care who the running back is. Patrick Taylor, Isaac Grindo, Israel Abanaconda. I don't care. Keyshawn Vaughn, don't care. Whoever it is, man, like, just run the ball. For them, their cornerbacks against our wide receivers, mismatch. Like, everybody except for Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings could have success against anybody in the NFL. I truly believe that. Now, is he your traditional X and stretch to fill vertically? He can't do that. But Jennings is fine. Debo, it might not be well for him unless you manufacture his touches, which I do expect Debo to get carries. Him as a running back, I'm okay with this week. Run him up the middle. Run him up the middle. Run him hard up the middle. But man, their corners. Ricky Pearsall, Chris Conley, Debo, that is 100% in their favor. You got to run the ball this week. If you try to throw the ball 35 plus times, yikes. Best blue chip matchup, Juwan Jennings versus Jalen Johnson, or there's two matchups, George Kittle versus Kevin Byard. Like those two, that's what's up. Like that is just great football players gets great football players. What's up, Don Burr? Detroit versus everybody. Oh, we coming. Not finished at all. Hey, man, I can't wait. We probably going to be playing spoiler at that point, but I'll take it. We spoiled your season last year. Hopefully we could knock you out of the one seed or something. It's sad that that's where we're at. But when the 49ers are eliminated, I still won't root for you. I can't do it for an NFC team. Can't do it. But I don't hate you, Detroit Lions. I don't hate you. I don't like you, but that's not your fault. You're in our division. I like your fans. I like your fans. I love Lions fans. Some of the coolest fans. If you're still a Lions fan, salute. Y'all been through hell nonstop. That's just what it is. So, Don Burr, happy for your success, and I hope it ends soon. But I really do like you. I respect you. You are awesome. I just can't root for NFC teams. I can't do it. I can't do it. Now, if you're betting this week and you're brave, let's go. This is the last week that you will be getting a 100% deposit match over at MyBookie if you use our promo code 49ers.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino, if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right, we got a little update on who is at practice and who's not seen from Matt Barrows. He's a stud. He's the best there is. Not seen at practice today, which just started. Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, Aaron Banks, Jordan Mason, George Odom, who had a really good game special teams-wise. But the no Bosa, the Bosa's the biggest. Jalen Moore, let's see what he's got. He played really, really good back-to-back games. Aaron Banks, I hate to say this, Ben Bartsch is better than him. Even if Aaron Banks was healthy, he shouldn't be back in. But they probably would replace him. Mason, we knew, was out. George Odom, we'll see. Nick Bosa's the big one. Isn't that weird to say? That's Trent Williams. Trent Williams is, you want Trent Williams to play. He's way better than Jalen Moore, but it's not that big of a drop off so far based off of two games. Eventually, that's going to show up differently. Montez Sweat, trust me, it wants to go against, you know, Jalen Moore, but we're going to see what he's got. And so we got to see that. So I like this question, Dave. He says, if you had to root for an NFC team, let me look just to see if I'm not skipping anybody. Man, I think Kevin O'Connell is probably one of my favorite coaches that doesn't get talked about a lot. Can't root for any of those teams. It probably would be Minnesota or Detroit. I actually don't mind Chicago. I like their fans too. I hate the Packers. I hate all the NFC East. NFC South, I don't mind the Falcons too much, but I'm not a Kirk Cousins guy. Never have been. Hate the Saints. Panthers, yeah. I hate them all, dude. Why do you make me do that? Like, they always say, like, oh, I can't pick my favorite kid. I can't pick who I hate the most. I'm the opposite. What's up, Paul Hope? Man, glad to see you here, brother. Glad to see you here. And Dave, right here, I'll never root for an NFC team unless we're eliminated. Then I have a lesser of evils. Yes. Yeah. Now, if you ask me, okay, the Packers and Lions are playing, I'm pulling for the Lions. Lions. Completely. You're telling me Saints and Lions are playing, I'm pulling for the Lions. I don't think the Lions have ever had, like, a successful anything against us. Washington? Ah, man, I've hated Washington my whole life. I've hated that team. But now, like, I'm not a Kingsbury guy, but, yeah, quality ownership. We got our guys running the program. Like, yeah, I get that. I get that. Now, let me just say this, okay? This is going to wrap the show up. I know we went a little long. Hopefully nobody's upset. To predict this game is hard. Offensively, there's two paths, okay? You either run the ball 26-plus times or you throw the ball 35-plus times. We don't do both of those things. Are you going to be a run-heavy offense and stick with it? Are you going to think that you can outsmart everybody and show them how smart you are with against the strength of their team, their cornerbacks, with a suboptimal wide receivers despite spending more draft capital on the wide receiver position than anybody else in the NFL? Shanahan, keep it simple, stupid. Come on, man. Come on. Run the damn ball. I don't care if Isaac Grando can't see. It has no clue where to go. I don't care about that. I don't care if Israel A has been cut by a team and he's been on your team for 3 days. I don't care. Hey, Patrick Taylor Jr., don't care. Debo, don't care. Run the ball. Have the threat or the illusion that you will run the ball on pass plays. No empty sets, bro. Don't do that. Don't do that. So, I have zero faith that Kyle's going to do the right thing and run the ball. I want him to. I can't put money on it. I can't do it. If he commits to running the football, the 49ers will have a chance to win as long as Sorensen and Snyder don't screw it up. Now, here's the problem, okay? There's two game plans. Defensively, which one are you going to commit to? You going to stay in zone? And you're going to let them bring the fight to you and force them to do what they don't want to do? Or are you going to give them layups like you have every team you played this year, defense? Are you going to allow them to see what coverages you're running, not disguise anything? I think you've disguised coverage maybe 5 times all year. If you do, if you just make it simple for a rookie quarterback, you're an idiot, right? What's the Napoleonic war code? Never do what your enemy wants you to do. The Bears want us to run man defense and only bring 4. That is what they are praying for. Every team we play against, that's what they're praying for. And they've all taken advantage of us. For some reason, Sorensen continues to think it's a good idea. Yeah. Stunt your defensive line. Keep your defensive tackles fresh. But yeah, if you're only going to bring 4, which is what we do, stunt your D-line. Try to confuse Caleb Williams just a little bit, just to hesitate a little bit longer. You can get sacks this game, and they don't convert 3rd and longs like every other team has against us in the NFL. As long as you stay out of man. Don't let Jair Brown play single high safety ever again for the history of his career. I don't care if they double jet motion over. Don't put 27 back deep. Can't cover deep, man. Can't cover deep zone. Can't be an alley player from that deep angle. You can't do anything. Keep him in the box where you mitigate how terrible he is. Don't do that. And can the defense get their first red zone stop in not one, not two, not three, but 4 games? We haven't had one. Defenses have gone 11 for 11 on touchdowns in the red zone against the 49ers the past 3 games. 11 for 11? Whew, that is rough. So here's my prediction. As best that I could do, if the 49ers run the ball 26-plus times, 26 or more times, I have the 49ers winning 20-16. In an ugly game, it's the only way we can win. It's the only way we can win. I actually think they're a better team than us. I really do. If the 49ers throw the ball 35-plus times, I have the 49ers getting blown out again, 3rd consecutive time, 31-26. So which one's it going to be? Turnovers, you know, you've back-to-back games, you turned the ball over 3 consecutive times in the second half. Can't do that. Got to get something done in the red zone. Ugh. Right here, Paul says he's got us winning 23-17. So if that's the case, we're running the ball 26-plus times. And if we do that, I agree with you. We throw the ball 35-plus times, I think we get blown out again, sadly. I really do. But the Niners can win this game. We're favored by 4 points. You just got to be smart and stick with what we do. Right here, we walked on the moon. I just want 4 quarters of competitive football. That's all I want. Yes. 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 You guys are awesome. Really do appreciate you guys. Tomorrow, going to be a little bit of a special show. I'm going to be doing a morning show, I think about 8:30-ish, with Larry Kruger, which I haven't recorded with him in a couple years. He reached out, said, yeah, why the hell not? So tomorrow morning, we're going to be doing a show on this channel and his channel with Larry Kruger. So check that out. We'll be talking some of these things and get different opinions, argue a little bit. But yeah, anyway, that's going to be in the morning. But until next time, you guys are awesome. Man, let's get this damn dub. Let's get this W. Till next time, stay strong, faithful.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.